And if you've closed your Bible, you'll want to turn back to Luke chapter 1. And we'll look at this passage together this morning as we come together on this week where decades of World Cup dreams have been shattered after that 3-0 defeat at the hands of a country that we won't name. And I was thinking back to a week last Friday when Wales were playing Iran, and lots of schools locally, including Lytchford Primary School, the children watched the game if they wanted to in school instead of doing work. And Channel 4 went to a school in Cardiff to capture the reactions of the children after Wales lost to Iran. And their responses captured some of the emotion that was felt across this nation. There was one girl who's interviewed who said this: "Mate, I'm fuming about this. I watched for like 100 minutes and I'm fuming." There's a boy who said something actually quite profound. He said, "I am disappointed, but Wales did good. But I guess Iran are just better, and that's life." And there's a boy who very movingly said this: "On the outside, I just feel great, but on the inside, it just hurts." Maybe that reflects how you felt over the last week in seeing those decades of World Cup dreams shattered. Well, in today's passage, we meet someone who's experiencing the exact opposite emotions of those children at that school in Cardiff who are fuming about it. We meet this woman called Elizabeth, who after decades of disappointment and hurt has received news that she thought would never be possible. That this woman who was unable to have children, who is now too old to have children, and yet she's going to have a son. She's going to have a son in her old age. She's now 6 months pregnant. The son is almost just a few months away from being born. And this son was going to have an important place in God's plan. Her of all people. This woman who thought she'd never have children is going to have an important son in God's plan. And you can imagine her excitement at this news after all of that disappointment and hurt being reversed so miraculously. You can imagine her excitement, and one of her relatives called Mary turns up. And you can imagine how excited you would be if you were Elizabeth. You want to talk about this exciting thing that happened to you. But as Mary turns up at Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth is excited. Not so much at the child in her womb, but the child in Mary's womb. And as we think about why she's excited about that child, as we hear Elizabeth's answer to the question, "What child is this?" Well, hopefully we'll remember how we have something that's really worth celebrating, whatever victories or disappointments we may experience in our life at the moment, we'll find good news that's really worth celebrating. Let's pick up the story where we were last week, where Mary has received this announcement from an angel that she's going to have a special son as well. And this son will be called Holy, the Son of God. That's quite an announcement to receive. And Mary, of course, is a virgin, so here's another miraculous birth. And Mary, when she's given this announcement, is given a statement about a sign that can give her kind of reassurance in the angel's message. Verse 36, Gabriel says, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren." And so Mary, in her trust and in her obedience and her willingness to be a servant of the Lord, she goes to see Elizabeth. And as Mary turns up in verse 40 in the house of Zechariah, there are two very excited people in that room, as well as Mary. There's the baby in Elizabeth's womb who leaps with joy in a way beyond normal baby leaping motions. And then there's Elizabeth, who's filled with the Holy Spirit to speak some very important and very special words, exclaiming with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then she goes on to say something very, very significant, something about Mary, something that tells us about this child who is going to be born. Verse 43, And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" They're the words I want us to focus on this morning. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, understands something about what child this is, who this Jesus is. What child is this? Well, he's Lord. He's Lord. And what does it mean for this baby to be Lord? Well, we only have to look back at the rest of the first chapter of Luke that we've seen so far, where so far in Luke chapter 1, we've seen the name of the Lord mentioned 10 times. Like, Luke is preparing us for this announcement on the lips of Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, as we're told about the Lord 10 times. We'll just look at 6 of them very briefly, okay? If you turn back to the start of Luke chapter 1, who is this Lord? We're introduced in Luke chapter 1 to Elizabeth and Zechariah. And this is what we read in verse 6. "They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord." Who is the Lord? The Lord is the God that they obey, the God who should be obeyed. I'm also told in verse 9 that Zechariah was serving according to the custom of the priesthood, and he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord. Who is the Lord? It's the God they worship, the God who made his presence known in this temple where sacrifices are offered. Now, go down to verse 16, where the angel appears to Zechariah and tells him about the child that they would have, the child that would go on to be called John. This is what we read. "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Who is the Lord? The God of Israel, the God of the Old Testament, the God that the Old Testament prophets spoke about. We'll jump down to one more place when the angel appears to Mary and says this in verse 32. "He will be great, this son Jesus will be great, and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." We see the Lord at work in history, making promises and fulfilling those promises. And then verse 38, Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This God we should serve. This God that Elizabeth commends Mary for serving. In verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The Lord. That's who this child is. The Lord. The Lord of all. The Lord of history. The Lord of his people. The Lord who is God. As Elizabeth says this word Lord, she's not just saying something respectful like, "This is an important child, and I'll be deferential towards this child when he's born and call him kind of master and Lord." No, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognises that this is a divine child. Lord, the one with divine authority and power, the Lord of all, the Lord of history. And that becomes even clearer when we continue through Jesus' life. Becomes even clearer when he rises from the dead. That's quite a clear moment. And the disciples see him there, and one of the disciples says, "My Lord and my God." And it becomes even clearer when this Jesus, risen from the dead, ascends into heaven and pours out his spirit on the church, the sign that he is Lord. And it'll be even clearer on a day that's coming soon that we've been singing about, when he will return and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It'll become even clearer what it means that Jesus is Lord. But even here, even from his birth, even in the womb, he is Lord. As Pat's favourite carol says, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Well, in fact, we could think of a more modern carol that's become very popular in the last few years, which tells us something about how astounding this all is. Mary, did you know? Some of you will know, probably most of you have heard that carol sung a lot. If you don't know it, it asks lots of questions. Mary, did you know this? Mary, did you know that? And it asks this question, Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. It's profound, isn't it? And later on, Mary, did you know that sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? Mary, did you know? And sometimes I think we can be a bit nervous talking about Mary because we're aware that there are people who wrongly venerate Mary and say all kinds of things about her. But in a very real sense, Mary was the mother of God. Not in the sense of being the internal mother of God, not in the sense of being above God in any sense, and not in the sense that she'd be venerated in Roman Catholic theology as being the Queen of Heaven, which she isn't, or a mediator alongside Jesus, which she isn't, but in the fact that that child that was in her womb was God the Son, taking human nature, entering our world, fully human, yes, and fully God. Rather than quoting a carol, I could also quote the Bible and Paul's letter to the Colossians, where we're told this, in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. This child who is Lord at his birth, even in the womb, he is Lord. Which is the sort of thing that should astound us every Christmas. How many Christmases you've celebrated that should amaze us and astound us. What child is this? The Lord from heaven, the Lord of history, the Lord of all in Mary's womb. He's Lord. But actually, there's something more to celebrate. That's just the kind of preparation for the next thing. Something more that we can celebrate that means we can share Elizabeth's joy this morning and the joy of John leaping with joy in the womb. Because Elizabeth doesn't just say that this child is the Lord. Look down at verse 43 again. She doesn't describe Mary as the mother of the Lord. What's she say? The mother of my Lord. What child is this? Elizabeth says, filled with the Spirit. He is my Lord. I think that statement in itself reminds us of something, of why that baby was born, so that we can know the Lord as our Lord, so that I can know the Lord as my Lord, so that you can know the Lord as your Lord. Coming to bridge that gap between heaven and earth, between God and us, that gap that exists partly because God is God and we're not, and that's an important thing for us to remember, but also because God is perfectly holy. We're a long way from that. We're not perfectly holy. We keep hearing more things about the census results that are being published and distributed at the moment. And if God did a global census, and part of that global census was working out what percentage of people have sinned against God, what percentage of the world's population had disobeyed God and have failed to respect him and honour him as the God who made heaven and earth and made us, if a global census showed the percentage of the human population that had sinned against God, what percentage would it show? 100%. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, God doesn't need to do a census to find that out. He knows it all already. He looks down from heaven and sees this sin and this disobedience and this rebellion and this failure to honour him as God. And what does God do with that statistic, with that 100% statistic of people sinning and disobeying him and turning away from him? What does he do? Does he destroy this world in judgment in a huge fireball, which is only what we would deserve? Does he just decide to give up on earth and stay at a distance from us and just leave us to get on with our folly down here and just stay away from us? Well, that would make sense as well. But he doesn't do either of those things. He comes down. He comes near to us. He comes down in Jesus, coming to bring heaven and earth together, coming to bring reconciliation, permanent reconciliation, coming to bring, as we've heard already, peace. I quoted Paul's letter to the Colossians earlier. I'll quote another bit of it now in chapter 1. You can turn there if you like. It's worth seeing the words. Colossians chapter 1, which is on, we're looking at page 1778. Talking about Jesus and the absolute unparalleled supremacy of the Son. We read this in verse 19. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Coming to reconcile, to make peace. This child, Lord at his birth, also Lord at his death, and in his death as Lord, accomplishing something very significant, something very special, dying for our sin, dying for our disobedience, dying so we can be reconciled to God, that we can have peace with God, that we can have a right, peaceful, harmonious relationship with God, the God of heaven. If we come to Jesus accepting that peace treaty signed in his death, we can be welcomed by the God of heaven. We can be on, if you like, personal terms with the Lord of heaven and earth. We can know the Lord as my Lord, as our Lord. We can know that he won't destroy us in judgment as we deserve, but will bless us in salvation far beyond what we could dream. We can know that he won't stay at a distance from us, but will be near to us to help us. Thinking this morning about Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills, and where does my help come? Where does our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he won't abandon us either. He won't get to a certain point in our lives and then just give up on us or get bored. He'll stay with us until that day when he welcomes his people into a glorious eternity. Day when all things will be made right. All things in heaven and on earth, all things for all those who know Jesus as Lord, who know the Lord as their Lord, and we know that peace across the whole earth. That's worth celebrating, isn't it? That's good news worth celebrating. It's like the baby leaping for joy in the womb of Elizabeth, like Elizabeth wanting to exclaim with a loud cry. That we can share that kind of joy today, that whatever else we may celebrate in our lives, or whatever else we may celebrate even this Christmas, well, knowing Jesus as Lord, far better than any of that. And also, whatever disappointments we experience in life, whatever disappointments we may have faced recently, well, none of that can take away from the joy of knowing Jesus as Lord. And whatever grief and pain we may have experienced recently, or that pain that this time of year may bring back up those painful memories, For if we know Jesus as our Lord, we know that one day he will wipe every tear away for all of his people, all those who know him as their Lord, our Lord, my Lord. What child is this? But the joy we can have, we can say, my Lord, that the Lord is my Lord. And if you're joining us today, and this is perhaps new to you, and you haven't heard this good news before, you haven't heard about this reason to really celebrate Christmas before, then we'd love to share more of this joy with you. And we have events this Christmas where you can find out more. That's one of the reasons we have lots of events, is to tell you about this joy that we can have in this child. I'm also running something that's worth all of us being aware of, if I can find it. In January, a special 3-session course called Hope Explored, just 3 sessions across 3 weeks in January, based on the Gospel of Luke that we're looking at, where you can ask all of the questions that you might have about who this Jesus is, and you can come to see that he is the Lord, and that you can know him as your Lord. So Hope Explored, you can find more details by contacting us or by taking one of these from the foyer. What child is this? The Lord. We can know him as our Lord. Which just brings us to one final question. What does it look like to celebrate Jesus as Lord? What's it actually look like to celebrate Jesus as Lord? And there are lots of answers to that question. I won't go through them all. And part of the answer may be to do what the baby did in Elizabeth's womb, of leaping for joy. Maybe you want to do that for the final song in a moment. But just one thing for us to look at, in terms of celebrating Jesus as Lord, something that we can learn from Elizabeth in this meeting with Mary. Do you remember where we started at the beginning? Of Elizabeth, who's got this really exciting news to share and to talk about, and yet her excitement isn't about the child in her womb, it's about the child in Mary's womb, that she knows that that child has priority because he's Lord. She turns the spotlight away from herself onto that unborn baby, Jesus. She wants him to be centre stage in this conversation and beyond as well. She wants him, Jesus, to be recognised as Lord. I think here with Elizabeth we see something of the attitude that her son John would come to have, where he said of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. This Jesus has priority for him to be centre stage and recognised as Lord. And that means that if today we say, Jesus is my Lord, then we are left with a bit of a challenging question of whether I'm happy for him to be first in everything. To say with John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease. I've been spending a lot of time this week, not a lot of time, some time, probably still too much time, looking at census maps from the most recent census. You can go onto the government website and you can zoom in, even to like your postcode area, and see what percentage of people were this and that, and all these kind of questions. It's very interesting. But I've been thinking about if there was a kind of a map, not of the local streets around here, but a map of my heart. And I looked at that map of my heart and asked the question, where are the areas where I'm not honouring Jesus as Lord, or at least not as I should, where I'm not giving him the place that's rightly his in my life, where he's pushed to the side by my selfish plans and priorities, even though I say, my Lord and my God. I think today, if we confess Jesus as our Lord, well, we need to keep praying for help to live with him as our Lord. He'd show us what areas of our lives need to change. Those areas of our lives where we like to keep him a bit at arm's length. And you'd help us to experience more of that joy of knowing him as our Lord. A joy that's greater than the prospect of Wales winning the next World Cup. A joy that's greater than the anticipation I have about eating the Christmas pudding that we made on Thursday at the Stirrup. A joy that's greater than anything that all of the Christmas adverts that you've been seeing on television can promise. The joy that's ours if we can say with Elizabeth, "This is my Lord." Glory be to him. Amen.